I needed a volunteer, so. Simon, I need you too. Come back. All right, I need you on this side. Can you hold this rope here? Hold tight. Simon, I need you on that side. Let's hold it a little bit further up so it doesn't. All right, we'll call this the center spot. When I say go, you're gonna pull as hard as you can and see who wins the tug of war, all right? Ready, go. Should we try that again? All right, come back this side. Can we have some friends to help her? Children friends. Hang on, wait, we don't want all of you. Just a couple. No. Listen. Yeah, very good, you do. You have to let Simon pull you, okay?
Okay.
Simon has to win this round, all right? Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Go. Well, that was a bit of a tougher fight. You did better, guys. Well done. Stay back over that side. We need one more person to add to this. Well, you're all right. You can have as many people as you like on that side. You can help Simon. You're all right. All right, last time. Ready?
Yeah.
Go. Thank you very much. So sometimes, you can go sit back down. Thank you so much. Thank you. Did a great job. Sometimes our life kind of looks like that. We're in a tug of war with us on one side and life on the other. And very often it looks like life is winning because it gives us a good tug and over we fall. We feel like we're losing. We feel like we don't have energy for the battle anymore. But then something interesting happens. When we let people in around us, when we let people in to help us, suddenly we really have more of a battle. Because life pulls, but we've got people pulling with us. We've got people on our team, and we don't feel alone while we fight. But what really makes a difference is when we invite God into our everyday life, when we invite God into our problems, when we invite God into our battles, then suddenly it's a done deal. Because God has already won the battle. God has already fought the fight. We just have to participate. So often, our life looks like this tug of war. And this is why I love the story today in Exodus. Most people have heard of the burning bush and the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. Not so many people know this story. And I love it because it's so important. It's the first time the Israelites have been asked to fight. It's the first time the Israelites have had to do anything. God sent plagues and rescued them from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea and they walked through on dry land. He provided manna. He provided quail. He provided water out of rocks. He provided an oasis at Elim where they got to rest. They'd never had to do anything. And now God is saying, fight. Is he saying, I can't win this, I need you? No, he's saying, trust me, I've got this. I've got this battle, but I want you to fight too. We shouldn't be surprised by this because we're asked to fight battles too. The New Testament tells us we're not fighting battles against flesh and blood, but against evil, against principalities of darkness. We're told to fight the good fight. We're told to put on the armor of God. We're told to put off the old and put on the new. We're told to strive for the narrow gate. This is not a let go, let God theology. This is a fight the good fight theology. But it's also a God has won the battle. We're not fighting in vain. We're participating with God. So Joshua is told to go pick fighting men. How do you pick fighting men? This is a bunch of slaves. They've never fought. They've made bricks. They've built. What did he do? Wander around saying, well, who's the tallest? Who's got something long and pointy? Who can wield something long and pointy? I mean, how do you pick when you've never had to fight? But he doesn't argue. He does what he's told. He goes and picks an army. And he says, yes, Lord, I trust you. So they go to battle. What's Moses doing? Moses is on the hill with God. He holds his staff above his head. And that staff is important because that staff is the presence of God. That staff is what turned into a snake and then back into a staff. It's what turned the River Nile into blood and back into water. It's what struck a rock and let water pour out of it. That was their banner. Jehovah Nissi, God is our banner. Ancient battles, people always fought under a banner, under a standard. It's the place they started the battle. It's the place they would retreat to if there needed to be a retreat. While the standard was flying, they knew they were winning. It was important. And this was important. And Moses held his arms up. Now, I don't know about you. If I hold my arm up while I'm singing a worship song, by the end of that worship song, my arm's gone dead. And I have to put it back down again. Even if I want to praise God through all the worship songs, we have to change hands and do a bit of waving and move them around a bit. We're talking about a whole day of battle. Can you imagine holding your hands up for a whole day of battle? It's no wonder he got tired. But he has Aaron and Hur with him. Aaron is brother and Hur, not strictly sure who Hur is, but some have said maybe his brother-in-law, which seems logical to have up there with him. They don't wait for Moses to say, oh, I'm feeling a bit tired now. You think you can help me, mate? I don't think I can do this anymore. You think you can help me? No, Aaron sees as a problem. And Aaron gets a rock and sits Moses on the rock. And then they hold his arms up. Now, at this point, all three of them have got aching arms because they're all got their arms in the air. But they're working as a team and they're sharing the load. And because of that, they win the battle. So there's our two. We've got to be prepared to partner with God in fight. We have to put people around us. What's the third component? We need God. We're fighting every battle in vain unless we ask God into our lives. So while Moses had his hands in his air, was he praying? Was he talking to God? I don't know. It doesn't say. But Moses did a lot of talking to God, so it's not unreasonable to presume he was. But that's our pathway. Our pathway to God is through prayer. Our banner, our Jehovah Nissi, is Jesus. Jesus who stretched his arms out on the cross and died for us. Jesus who was resurrected. Jesus who is sat on the right hand of the Father. Jesus who is interceding for us every day. That's our banner. That's the standard to which we run to. And when we pray and invite him into our lives, he's fighting with us. So, where are you in your life? Are you fighting that tug of war? Is life overwhelming? Are your children too much? Is your job too much? Is your ministry too much? Are you too tired to fight? Are you too tired to ask for help? Are you too tired to pray? We've all been there. We've all been there. Are you Moses? Are you struggling? Are you struggling to hold your arms up? Are you Aaron and Hur? Let me tell you, if you're not Moses right now, you're Aaron and Hur. Because you need to be supporting those around you. You need to be holding them up. Don't wait for them to ask. People will not ask. It is hard to ask for help. It is hard to admit you're struggling. It is hard to admit you're failing. Don't wait for people to ask. See the need and partner with them. Lift their arms up, walk alongside them. For the last 10 months, this church has been my Aaron and my Hur. You've held my arms up every day. And because you've been there and you've held my arms up, we have battled through the hardest time in my life. And God has been victorious. And now I want everyone to feel what I felt. I want everyone to know that love and support that I've been given. Because when I couldn't ask for help, when I didn't know what to say, when I'd given up talking to you all about it, because by golly, I'd been going on about it for so long, I'm sure you were sick of it and didn't want to hear another word about it. Did you give up? No, you still came alongside me. You still prayed. You were still there for me. And I never, ever had to ask. Now, I want to be Aaron and Hur to you. I want us all to be Aaron and Hur to each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to be there for each other. We need to pray for each other. But we need practical help too. How often have you said to someone, oh, you're having a rough time. I'm sorry, I'll pray for you. Oh, Lord, yeah, sorry. Help Jess, whatever it was she needed. I mean, sometimes we get really busy and we forget that we've told people we're going to pray for them. But Jess doesn't forget. Jess just sends you a washing machine when your washing machine breaks down without asking you and it turns up. It's practical help. She prays for me too, but it's not the point. Practical help. Where we can help, we should. Sometimes that is praying for someone. Sometimes you don't know what else to do, but pray. Pour your heart out to God. So today, as we close in prayer, if anyone is a Moses right now, if anyone needs prayer, if anyone needs support, I just invite you over to our chapel. There'll be people there to pray with you. Don't be scared to admit you need help. Don't be afraid. We've all been there. We've all done it. We've all battled. And we've all felt like we're losing that battle. But we don't need to lose any battle. The outcome isn't always the way we want it to be. Just because we invite our friends in and because we invite God in, that doesn't mean the battle will be easy. It doesn't mean people won't betray us. It doesn't mean our kids will become less annoying. It doesn't mean we're going to get the job we want. It doesn't mean any number of things. We still get ill. We still die. We still lose people. But we're fighting the battle with God. And God wins that battle. So, I have one more thing that I have to confess to you. I run Sunday morning kids ministries. This week, I almost gave them up. Almost threw it in because it's too much. I can't do it. I was frustrated, tired, frankly fed up. I run a kids ministry with no volunteers, not enough volunteers. And we can't actually run every week starting this new term because there's not enough volunteers. And I said to God, I'm done. Find someone else to do it. And then I'm preparing this sermon, and what does God tell me? It's not your ministry, it's mine. It's not your battle, it's mine. What's your job? So being my usual stubborn self, I scrape my feet and look up at it, and I'm like, all right. But you know what that means? It means I need an Aaron and a Hur. need people to hold up our kids' ministry, and I am so grateful to Tim. Every Saturday morning, they're there praying for our kids' ministry. But I need you all. If these kids are valuable to you, if the things we do with our children matter to you, I need you. The battle is God's, but he asks us to fight. He asks us to partner with him. And this week, that's all I'm asking. Partner with me, partner with God. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that the battle is always yours. Give us softened hearts, Lord, to partner with you, to give up what we can't hold on to, and to, Lord, let you. Lord, we thank you for the people you've put in our lives. We thank you that you love us enough to partner with us. Lord, I lift up every person here today that's feeling like Moses, that's struggling. And I pray that they would feel supported, that they would feel lifted up, that they would feel the presence of your church around them and the presence of you in their lives. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.